I want to discuss a topic tonight which is somewhat, only somewhat loosely connected to what we're learning this week about Breshus and Shalom Breshus, but it is a very interesting, curious little corner of Chashon Mishpat. Tosus in Sukkah, going on an obscure Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Miyad Tinoko Shomfnes Lulavein V'Ochon Estrogein. Not even clear how to translate that. From the hands of the children, they seize or grab the lulavim and they eat that srog. The Rishonim have different interpretations of this Gemara. One shot of Tosus is, Rashi Tosus, is that the adults would seize the lulavim and the srogim from the ketanim without asking permission, and they would do whatever it is they did with the lulavim and they would eat that srogim. Normally we call that stealing. When you take somebody else's property, mazik, stealing, gezel. Here, somehow, this was the custom, and apparently the Mishnah endorses this. Why would that be? Satosa says, Ein bedavar gezel, lo mishum darchei shalom, shekach noagu machmas simcha. This was the custom as an outgrowth of the general joy and celebration that was going on Yontif. Tosus infers from this, v'yesh lumod mikan, osam bachurim sherochvim besusim likras chasan. Today, you go to a chasana, we do bachurim do shtick. They wear funny hats, and they light fires, and they do tricks. What was the equivalent of chasan shtick back in the 13th century? What did medieval people do for fun? They jousted. They got on horses, and they took weapons, and they whacked away at each other for sport, for spectator sport, for their own entertainment. Tosa says, apparently this was a Jewish custom too, the Vias Kristal Tzach, Yidl Tzach, the Jews back then also used to do this. The Bachram at weddings used to ride on horses in the presence of the Chasan, they would battle each other, and sometimes they would cause damage, they would damage each other's clothes or damage the horse. Potter, Shekach Nagu Machma Simchas Chasan. This is an idea that Tosa develops, that is an idea of Hezek Machma Simcha. If there's a general custom to be boisterous and rowdy and to go a little overboard in celebration, and you simply are following that custom, and as a consequence you cause damage, you are potter. These are two examples we've seen. One of them is Sukkot, there was such a custom apparently in the time of the Mishnah. Second example is wedding celebrations where they engage in jousting. And Rishonim and Achronim bring about a half dozen different examples, applications of this principle. The Achronim bring from the Sefer Aguda. The Aguda says that the Bachrim, I'm not sure how old these Bachrim were, the Bachrim used to play in shul on Shabbos morning. I'm not sure if these were little kids or these were just teenagers who didn't have patience to sit inside. And they would, playing would involve horseplay. They would sometimes, get a little physical, cause damage. Aguda says, again, potter, because that was the custom. He doesn't even focus on Simcha, he just says that was the minhag. They used to play like this. They used to play in this wild way. There are several other examples in the Rishonim. The most famous example, perhaps, is Purim. Truman Sedeshin talks about, brings a tshuva, a minhag, that he says people used to just grab things from each other or cause damage to each other sometimes on Purim. That was all part of the wild celebrations on Purim. And the Truman Sedeshin paskins and the Ramah paskins this way, no fewer than two places in Shulchan Aruch, twice, the Ramah brings us in, that there is a Ptur. First, Ramah says in Tafresh Tadihei, in Hizik Yesh Omrim, in Hizik Echad Eschaveh Ramat Mikach Simchas Purim Potter Milashalim. He just brings it in a general way. If he causes damage on Purim, he's Potter. Then again, in Tafresh Tadivav, he discusses this further, and he says, V'chein B'nei Adam Achotfim They grab things from each other, food or other items, part of the simcha, they just grab and kind of don't behave in such a normal, civilized fashion. And he adds an important thing, but there are some rules, it doesn't define clearly what they are. The leaders of the city get to set certain grand rules that beyond which you get penalized. And actually, one of the sources of this is a Trumas Hadeshen, another Trumas Hadeshen. The first one talks about Purim. The second Trumas Hadeshen talks about Hoshanah Rabbah. We do hakafas, and our hakafas, at least in most shuls I've been to, have been pretty calm, pretty not very exciting at all. You just kind of ritually march around the bima. It seems that in the time of the Truma Sedeshin, the Hakafas again, almost like Simchas Torah some of our shuls, it seems that the Hakafas of Hoshana Rabbah were extremely wild, were extremely levadic, and people would often smack into each other and knock each other down. And there was one particular incident where somebody whacked somebody else and caused serious injuries. He dislocated bones, broke bones, and the victim said that it was deliberate. The victim said that the attack was premeditated. It was a guy taking advantage of the rowdiness of the Hakafas to cause him injury because he had a long-running enmity toward him. And the Truma Sedeshin basically says both sides of the coin. It says on the one hand, without this accusation of intentionality, if it was just a question of an unfortunate accident because of the rowdiness, you would talk about Potter from this same principle, that a hezek that occurs in the course of Simcha, there is a Potter. However, he says, if it was done deliberately, then you are certainly chayev. This is accepted by all the poskim. Mishabura brings this, that if it was, that Magen Avraham, Mishabura brings this, that if it was Bekavana, then there's no Potter. Either you say because then that Misvarach is the poskim didn't want to patter you, or you say it's no longer Machma Simcha anymore, that's just a deliberate hezek. Primogadim uses language that the Ptur normally, Machmas Simcha is Machmas Ones. Again, we discussed Adam Mu'ad La'olam, but somehow the Primogadim seems to understand that the Ptur might be sort of like a Ptur of Ones. If you do it deliberately, you have no Ptur of Ones. Whatever it is, the post can generally agree that this is not licensed to deliberately cause harm to somebody, but as long as you're engaged in the spirit of the day in kind of rowdy Simcha, then there is such a Ptur. In that case, the Shemitz Nesh, and he says it's hard to prove that it was done deliberately, but then he adds, which is similar to the point of Kahogan al Pituvahir, he says the Tuvahir have to make sure that this doesn't get out of hand. It is their job, even though according to the letter of the law, hezek that occurs in the course of Simcha, of rowdiness is Potter, it is the job of the communal leaders to police things and make sure that they stay within some bounds of civilized behavior. And actually, the transition is quite interesting. I was just looking at his language. He says the reason it's important to make sure that people don't get out of hand in doing this is because otherwise the whole joyous celebration of our Hakafas will disintegrate. Nobody will want to participate. Everyone will be too busy standing in a defensive crouch to avoid getting knocked over, and the whole Hakafas will be butthole. I would have thought the reason that people should behave in a civilized way is that you shouldn't send people to the emergency room with broken shoulders. But Truman Session says the problem is that if we're not careful, the Hakafas celebration will be impugned. It will cease to operate in the way we would like it to.
Is the Truma Sedeshin therefore distinguishing Kavala? That's what he's talking about, where he says, but as opposed to the case of the Mishnah with the Esrogim, obviously that was Bekavana, right? The stealing part is.
That's a good point. That's the point that would bother me also. That the Truma Sedeshin is contrasting accidental damage, like jostling somebody or bumping into somebody in the course of dancing, versus deliberate damage where you check somebody and you body slam them to the floor. As you're pointing out, obviously some of the examples given in the postgame of Chotfin, the Tosis brings that lashon about Sukkah, Shomtin Levan, that would grab, seize the Levan, that's the lashon of the Ramah, and Purim also says that they would be Chotif things based on other Truma Sedeshin. That certainly seems Bekavana. I don't know exactly how to deal with that. It seems that they're not looking at that as Kavana Lahazik. Even though technically it is Hazik, because I'm taking your property away, the tour of the action is more a tour of celebration rather than of, it's not a mean-spirited, vindictive act. It's just an act of rowdy celebration rather than an act which is intended to damage. But that is a good point, yes. I don't have a full answer for that question. One last application of this by the poskim is a fascinating, colorful tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Masas in his Sefer Mayim Rabim, Sfardik Achron, Morocco, about 100 years ago. Apparently the custom was on Shavuos, similar to something that we do in Simchas Torah in some circles, on Shavuos, the Sfardim had a custom, they would recite these poems called the Azharos, the Azharot. These were long poems that went through the Tariq Mitzvahs, in poetry, all the Mitzvahs, and not for Saras Adibros, in honor of Shavuos. And apparently different people would be honored by reciting different stanzas of this poem. And apparently whoever got the honor, in quotes, of reciting the last stanza, people would, I guess kind of like people who score touchdowns in football games, people would throw water all over him. They would, not champagne, but they would douse him in water. That was the custom. He would get soaked with water. So it turned out, one day, the person who did this was a rich, uh, A rich or a person dressed in expensive clothing, and his silk clothing got damaged by the water. So he sued the people who ruined his clothing. And Rav Masas basically says, grudgingly, that Mikra Din, you have this defense that anything that was done al pi hezek machmas simcha, which is a normal, customary way of celebrating in this community, you have this tour. He kind of grumbles about it. He says that in discusses different cities in Morocco, in Marrakesh, and in several other cities where they did have the custom, they didn't have the custom, and in certain cities the Rabbanim protested it, but they weren't successful because people just loved this game and they weren't able to mivatel it. But he says at the end of the day, you still have this tour. As long as what he did was within the bounds of what was customary in that community, even if he caused hezek. So again, I don't know if that means he deliberately knew his water was going to damage the clothing, or it just means he threw the water like they threw every year, even though without the context of hezek, that would be ademud la'olam. But since what he did was within the bounds of normal simcha, even though the rabbanim didn't like it and tried to mevatel it, but at the end of the day, as long as what he did was customary, he'll still be pater. However, he says if he goes beyond what's customary, if he insists on doing what the rabbanim insisted that he not do, which they didn't give in, which they wouldn't allow as customary, then he'll be chayav this thing again. If they did what was shlo kahog and al pi tuvei ha'er, then there's going to be a chiyuv. Now, some posts can distinguish between personal injury and property damage. Some posts can say that the heter does not apply to personal injury. But again, we've seen the Trumas Hadeshen, who seems to say that it does. In his case, he said it didn't in that kafas because it was deliberate, or because it was shalom al pi tuvei ha'er. But in general, he seems to say that it does. Magen Avraham brings a raya from the Aguda, the case of the Bachram who used to fight, and the implication is that there would be personal injury. Tosus talks about jousting, specifically says that the damage used to be to the clothing or the horses. Tosus does not say that they actually hurt each other. But the Magen Avraham says, other Acharonim are mashma, the other Poskim are mashma, that even personal injury is still pater, although not everyone agrees, but the dominant approach seems to be that even personal injury, you still have the same tour. However, the consensus of the Poskim also accepts a limitation of the Bach. The Bach talks about a very unfortunate case. He says a bunch of young men were drinking at a Sheva Brachas, and apparently the custom was, as I think I've heard, was a European custom, they used to throw glasses at the wall as part of the toast or as part of the celebration. They would drink, and then they would hurl the glass at the wall. So unfortunately, one of the glasses, shards of glass, hit somebody in the face and damaged somebody's eye. Cost somebody, I think, part of his eyesight. So the Bach is discussing whether we apply this Tour of Hezek Machm Simcha. He initially proposes yes, and then he mentions this possible distinction between personal injury and property damage, but he says no. Again, he says like the Magen Avraham, there's no chiluk. That la halacha we paskin that even personal injury is potter. However, he says, this is only, again, similar to what we said before, this is only within reason, this is only moderate hezek, low-grade hezek, like in Purim, they grab somebody's Danish, they damage somebody's clothes maybe, but a major expense, he says, even mammon, even if you cause somebody a major financial expense, he's totaled his car or something, even that, you're going to be chayav. And certainly, if you cause damage to somebody's eyesight, which is a major hezek, the chiluk is not between guf and mammon, the chiluk is between major and minor hezek. And again, the Shabura Paskins this way too, in Hilchos Sukkah, that this special dispensation of hezek machma simcha is only for minor or moderate hezek, not for major hezek.
In our Mishnah, says berushes or below berushes. So these circumstances, what they do is they make the circumstances be berushes.
Yes.
Right?
So
what happens if it's below berushes?
Yeah. So that is the point. That is one point I saw when I was reviewing my notes on this tonight. That is one point I saw that ties these two sugyas together. All these other poskim I mentioned, the Tosfos and the Trumas Hadeshen and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, all these poskim do not mention anything about our sugya. The one person I finally saw who did is my namesake, or sort of my namesake, Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, a noted Dayan in Eretz Yisrael of the last century. He finally connects these two sugyas. He says, maybe I have a new explanation for why this case is a potter. Since the Mishnah says that anything that's berushus is potter, so maybe these cases should be potter too. Now again, here you get into what you were saying before, that only makes sense, obviously, in the case where maybe you tripped against somebody and you did something accidentally. You were dancing like a maniac on Purim, and you ran into somebody. Good, okay. It's called berushus, like Adi was saying. It's called berushus because on Purim that's how people behave. But it doesn't explain, like in the case of Chotfin, where you deliberately grabbed it away, or where you do, or the case of the water, you know, we can argue. Maybe he deliberately threw the water, but he didn't realize it would damage. It certainly doesn't explain the cases. It certainly does not explain the case of chayshin, where you deliberately do it. The whole idea of reshus and shalob reshus is that if an accident happens, I'm not chayav. But the Ptura, when I deliberately do something, even if it's machma simcha, that certainly you couldn't explain based on reshus. I'll call upon Rabbi Grossman actually suggest that we could apply the rule of Arasugya of reshus to justify some of these cases. However, as you were saying, then we have to distinguish between what's called reshus and what's not called reshus. And in any event, Rabbi Grossman himself makes this point. He brings in a Chavas Yar, which we have not seen this week. Maybe we'll see it next week. The Chavas Yar, Pesachua is going to bring, very much narrows the definition of reshus. This kind of reshus of mitzvah, the Gemara says example is somebody who's running around for Shabbos preparations, and that's, I guess, the suggestion you were making, that running out of Shabbos or maybe dancing on Purim is the same idea. But Rabbi Grossman brings a Tshuva in the Chavos Yair who narrows very dramatically the definition of reshus, and he therefore says that our sugya's din of reshus would not apply, and therefore you just have this other kind of related dispensation of Hezek Machma Simcha. And again, we'll see a little bit more about this next week. We'll see a Tshuva the Rosh about kids at a wedding who got into an accident and whether you chayev or pater, why not. And we'll see again this Chavos Yair hopefully about the definition of reshus mitzvah. And we'll understand a little bit more clearly how these concepts apply to the situation of Hezek Machma Simcha.